Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 187, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. And what follows, Psalter 187, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 2 Timothy 2. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit them to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except ye strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. A study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, as saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, and knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who were taken captive by him at his will. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Helen Clark and her family with the loss of her grandson at the tender age of 2 years in Rock Valley, Iowa. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee and thy divine providence and in the way of thy great goodness and of thy mercy that thou was granted unto us and our children another Lord's day. Then thou wast being a faithful God, then in this morning, by renewal the sun may arise, the moon may still be in the sky, and also the twinkling stars, and the earth may still be, because there is a church that must and shall be gathered, by thy free and sovereign grace, and thou gatherest thy church by word and by spirit, and to that end we may still come within the walls of thy house. Wilt thou grant an impression of thy goodness, were also in the week gone by, then thy mercies have greatly abounded over us in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be. Then thou was granted so many mercies above so many of our fellow travelers. Ah, Lord, may we receive an impression thereof in thy house in this morning. May there be a bowing of the heart and a prayer unto thee, the living God. Then a family circle in our midst have also received heavy tidings at the beginning of the past week. And yesterday they have stood on the cemetery around an open grave in a faraway place to bring to the grave a little son. O Lord, may it please thee to remember, to uphold, to strengthen, and to comfort the mourning family, the young father and mother, the past Lord's day, with 6 children, and now on this Lord's day, a large empty place. Wilt thou remember the widow with the whole family in our midst, and may this solemn and serious calling, may it be sanctified by thy Holy Spirit. Then wounds have been reopened, the thought shall multiply, and so we commend all the mourning ones unto thee, and may out of that mourning, by irresistible grace, another mourning have been born, and that is a mourning over our sins. Then we have sung together of a poor and needy people that are given to cry unto thee, that stand in need of thy mercy. Thou knowest how it has been in the past week, what we have been busy with, whether only with the temporal things, are also concerning our never-dying soul, the coming of thy kingdom, and the glory of thy great and worthy name. Lord, to that end, we humbly beg of thee for a rich blessing upon thy holy word in this morning hour, that it may be for the conversion of boys and girls, for the conversion of our young people, for the conversion of the middle-aged, and the conversion of our elderly ones. Oh, do bind the seriousness, the solemnity, and the shortness of life, and the certainty of death, of judgment and eternity upon all of our hearts, also an impression of thy greatness, and that thou art so worthy to be served. Lord, thou knowest who are thine, thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest that in the life of thy true children, there can be many perplexities, there can be many riddles, and there can be many questions, that many a times they are as a Rebecca of old. Why am I thus? But, Lord, it is a people that is bound to the throne of grace, and thou wast promised in thy word that thou shalt remember them, that thou shalt grant tokens of thy favor, that thou shalt bless thy word. May thou do it in this morning hour, that they may be given to rejoice with joy unspeakable, but also in the life of thy children, to grant the further leadings. Our sins need to be pardoned. We need to come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need, with the burden of our sin, to be brought to the foot of the cross, and by true saving faith, to embrace that sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. O Lord, grant a life bound at thy throne of grace, a life exercised that thy kingdom may greatly increase in the midst of us and our children. Wilt thou grant a rich blessing upon this Lord's Day in the midst of thy church? It is declared in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching that sinners shall be saved. So we commend unto thee the established churches, that the church takes not all their blessings and privileges for granted, that they may be given to see thy special providential hand therein. With a humble and thankful heart, it all must come from above. Lord, do uphold and remember the persecuted church in this day, those in prison, tortured for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember all those that are near and dear unto them, and when they may gather in secret round about thy holy word, grant thy indispensable blessing. We commend unto thee the Jewish people and the Jewish nation at war, that the veil may be taken off, that they may be given to behold in a way of experience that the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come. We commend unto thee all mission work, also our mission field, thy servants, the team, the father and mother learning the language, and may it all prosper in thy hand. We commend unto thee all the special needs, all those in special ways, under the physician's care, the different circumstances are known unto thee, the pain, the weariness, the concerns and the cares, May it please thee to surround them with thy care and with thy compassion, and that the means may be blessed. May there be a crying unto thee for the sanctification of these afflictions, that thou shalt not have to say, I have well stricken thee, but thou hast felt no pain. May that be their main concern. Remember the handicap, the crosses, the burdens. Remember the elderly ones. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Wilt thou open thy precious testimony, anoint us with fresh oil from above, and may it be granted in this hour that we may be given to believe what we speak, and so speak what we believe. We are so dependent upon thee. May thy word go forth with power divine. Do go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. Leave us not cold, untouched, and unmoved, but may thy word exert its divine power for the saving of souls. Wilt thou grant a little rest in thy house? Do bind the devil. He has but a short time as the earth draws closer to its end, but thou art still gathering a church. Lord, so we have many matters to lay before thee, and we have no merit of ourselves. Our sins are great and manifold. May we be given to plead upon the merits of thine only begotten Son, who always heareth his church, wonder-doing God. Manifest then thy wonders in the midst of our children in this hour. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 442, the five stanzas. Our gracious God has laid his firm foundations on Zion's mount, the courts of his delight. Her gates of splendor bathed in heavenly light, he loves far more than Jacob's habitations. And what follows, Psalter 442, the five stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 2 Timothy 2 and there of the 19th verse. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Our text words speak of Paul's encouraging instruction to Timothy concerning the church of Jesus Christ, with four thoughts. In the first place, the needed nevertheless. Secondly, the sure foundation. Thirdly, the accompanying seal. And fourthly, the departing from iniquity. Paul's encouraging instruction to Timothy concerning the church of Jesus Christ. The needed nevertheless, the sure foundation, the accompanying seal, and the departing from iniquity. Thus first, the needed nevertheless. Beloved congregation, when the Apostle Paul has written this epistle to his spiritual son Timothy, and then he was in prison for the second time. The first time we read thereof in Acts 28, and then he was released for some years, had liberty to labor in the church. But now concerning this epistle to Timothy, in approximately the year AD 67, he has been arrested by renewal, placed in prison by the Emperor Nero. And then we read in this epistle that with that second imprisonment, he had been in court for his first trial. Because we read in verse 4 through 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and no pronouncement was made. But it was clear that for Paul, that martyrdom was close by. And then Paul has written to his spiritual son Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And then in the 8th verse of the 4th chapter, he is speaking of that crown of righteousness that is awaiting for him and for all those that love the Lord. Then this letter is the last pastoral letter that he has written to the churches. It is written to Timothy. And in this letter, especially in this chapter, we have heard it. Then he has encouraged Timothy to be steadfast. We read many different terms in verse 1, to be strong. In verse 2, to commit faithful men, sound teaching. in verse 3 to endure hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 8 to remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In verse 15 to study. In verse 16 to shun. And in verse 22 to flee youthful lusts. Then our text begins with nevertheless, and that is a special word for Timothy under different discouragements in the midst of the church. Then surely also for a Timothy, because congregation, the devil has a thousand wiles to pester and to trouble his true child, many times only a thought or a question, and how troubled they can be. And then in this letter, then in different places, because it cannot be that in the life of Timothy that he has thought oftentimes, if I now had a conversion like Paul, so suddenly and so powerfully, then I would never doubt, then my way would be easier, but that a Timothy could not speak of, and to that end, undoubtedly, Paul has made reference of his youth. He has beheld his tears. He has spoken of the unfeigned faith in the first chapter, of his mother and grandmother persuaded that it was also in thee. Then he was given in chapter 3, verse 15, to speak that from a child he had known the word of God, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. Then Paul on his first missionary journey, then he has met that young Timothy with a profound impression that he was filled with a tender fear of the Lord. Then Paul in the first chapter is given to point Timothy that he has received the holy office with a laying on of hands. Thus then it is implied that also for a Timothy, that his thoughts many times have reflected back with a desire to of such a clear and powerful way as Paul. Maybe in this morning there are souls that understand it and that can be so troubled, and that the devil comes and says, you cannot tell of the moment when the Lord has begun. It is upbringing. You are emotional, but you have not experienced it as vividly as Paul, but young and old. It is not the most important in depth, but the truth of the matter, whether we have become a sinner, a great sinner, a lost sinner, that we have become a poor and needy people, that the love has been shed abroad in our heart, and that we need the pardoning of our sins, needing that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be reconciled, because the Lord has a people that feels that separation. But now further for Timothy, then also, it was only a young church, the church of Ephesus, where Timothy was ministered. It was established on the third missionary journey, approximately the year AD 55-56, thus 11 years before this time. And then in this epistle, then it is evident that many trials and many discouragements have come because where the Lord works, and that is personally and in the church, there the devil shall also work with all the powers of hell. And to that end, when we read in our text, and nevertheless, for that Timothy in the service of the Lord, then it was with a special purpose that a Timothy may be discouraged, because how discouraged that the church can become. And when we consider the disappointments, the discouragements, oh, it is true. When we may look upon the world where it is declining so rapidly, where the Lord has given the children of men more and more over to the foolishness of their hearts, where iniquity is abounding, the enmity against God and His Son, His Word and His institutions is greatly increasing. And it is true, there are times that the church may be bowed down. Think of an Abram in Genesis 18, when he was exercised with Sodom and Gomorrah. It is a privilege when it may take place, but in the greatest discouragements and the greatest disappointments, they are in the midst of the church. And of course we read in Romans 8 verse 7 that the carnal mind is enmity against the Lord. When we think of all the discouragements, think of the prophet Isaiah, where it seemed many times he was plowing upon the rocks. Isaiah 53 verse 1, who hath heard our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? When it is seen that there is a great hardness of heart, a refusing to bow under the instruction out of God's word, the exhortations, when men in the church with a baptized forehead, when they follow hard after the world, when they show clearly that they have no desire for the Lord and for His ways. Further, when the seed of God's holy word, when it falls on the wayside, when it makes no impression also, when many a times the cares of the world, they choke the good seed. And when we speak of the discouragements in the midst of the church, oh, then Timothy, as the minister in Ephesus, the Lord has blessed those labors. There was a church that was saved by free and sovereign grace, but it is clear in this epistle that there was much falling away. Think of 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, loving of pleasures more than lovers of the Lord, then there can be many discouragements. Oh, for a Timothy, when there were catechism classes, it is true, it was only in the beginning years of the congregation, but then we can all understand when there were those in his catechism classes who have not been diligent students to memorize their questions to their ability, when in the classes there was disrespect and bad behavior before the instructors, then it would make Timothy very discouraged. But in the context of our text, that nevertheless, then it especially refers to the verses before, the verses 17 and 18, temporal believers, where it seemed that there was the work of the Lord to men, because we read of Hymenaeus and Philetus, two men who had a special place in the church. They are not described. And in 1 Timothy 1 and 1 verse 20, then Hymenaeus and Alexander are mentioned together. And in this epistle, in chapter 4 verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, It is not clear whether that Alexander and Alexander the coppersmith are the same men. But then these two men, in verse 8:17, then they have brought trouble into the church. They were given to teach false doctrine, because we read, who concerning the truth have erred, as saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And when we read that the resurrection is past already, then the commentators' different thoughts, it could refer to the resurrection of Christ, or it could refer to the resurrection when man is quickened, when they are born again out of their death state. Thus two men that had a prominent place in the church, undoubtedly in the congregation, that there were sure thoughts that the Lord has begun that good work, and that they were honored in the midst of the church. But now they have taught false doctrine and overthrew the faith of some. A great discouragement for Timothy and for the true believers, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who taught that there was no resurrection, and that is according to the flesh, because congregation, when there is no resurrection, then there is no judgment, and then dead is dead, and then man says and thinks, let us eat and drink, tomorrow we die. That was what those two men taught, and caused great difficulties, great commotion in the midst of the church. Then it was very clear that the Lord has not begun that good work. How is it with us, congregation? Do we believe in the resurrection of the dead, judgment, and eternity? And not only with our mind, but with our heart. And is that evident in our life? Because when that becomes true, then we become seekers. Then we seek the Lord. And then we need to be reconciled. Maybe when we have read of those two men, that there are a few souls in my midst. Because there is a people that have much to do with that people. Oh, when they may have a hope that the Lord has begun that good work. Find their life in God's word. But then when it becomes still and the evil arises in their heart, then how distressed they can become, that the Lord has never begun. But with that true work, then that people, you find them in secret places and ask the Lord to confirm it, a visit, a token of his favor. And now, for Timothy, Paul has written that nevertheless. And that becomes the wonder for the church. That is the wonder of free and sovereign grace, that the church, the true church, the church of Jesus Christ, is in good hands, because it stands, rests upon the sure foundation that is our second thought. Thus, and nevertheless, and notwithstanding all the powers of the devil, the alluring world, our fallen nature, that nevertheless, the Lord has a church, and he shall always have a church to the end, and that church that has been gathered, that is in good hands, because we read, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Those boys and girls, the apostle is given to speak of a foundation. When we build a house, think of the parable in Matthew 7, the verses 24 through 27. Then we have the wise builder and the foolish builder. And the wise builder, he has built his house upon the rock. And then when the storms and the rain came, then that house was given to stand. And now Paul was given to speak to Timothy, Timothy, there is much that disappoints. There is much that discourages, that we can come very low, but nevertheless, the church is not our cause, our glory. It is the Lord's church. And to that end, Timothy, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. And that foundation, that in the first place, that rest upon the election of the Father, where he has chosen a church sovereignly and freely, a church chosen to everlasting life, and that church is written in the book of the Lamb. And for each one whose name is written in that book, notwithstanding all the powers of hell, then that foundation standeth so sure that that church shall be gathered. Oh, that foundation, that is the council of peace, where the Trinity is counseled together, where there was asked whether there was a way that the sons and daughters of Adam, how may I place them among the children? And then there has been counseled in Christ as that blessed mediator. Then he has come forward, Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O my God, and thy law is written within my heart. Then that foundation, that is the purchasing of Christ, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, that he has come upon the earth, that he has suffered, oh, he has taken all the sins of that elect church upon him. He has satisfied the Father's justice. He has paid the price, and to that end, nevertheless, ah, that chosen church, they shall be set free. They shall be wrought upon. Then in the third place, then that foundation, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit proceedeth from the Father and from the Son, and where he gathers that chosen church by word and by spirit. Ah, that foundation, upon that foundation, we read thereof in the epistle to Peter, of that temple built with lively stones. And then we can all understand, congregation, in that beautiful temple, the chosen church in Christ, if at the end there was one stone missing of that beautiful and glorious temple, then the devil would have reason to rejoice in hell. But oh, that foundation that standeth so firm. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Thus that seal, all the attributes of the Lord, harmonized and glorified, that the church may be saved. That seal is declared in his holy word, and we read in Hebrews 6 that it is confirmed by an oath. And now concerning that church, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that shall be an imparted knowledge concerning that work of free and sovereign grace. And that is our third thought, the accompanying seal. But let us first sing 336, stanzas 1 and 2. I have followed truth and justice, leave me not in deep distress. Be my help and my protection, let the proud no more oppress. And what follows, 336, the stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. Paul's encouraging instruction to Timothy concerning the Church of Jesus Christ. The needed, nevertheless, the sure foundation, and now thirdly, the accompanying seal. That seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. That is declared in God's holy word unto us and our children. But now it pleases the Lord to place that seal upon His church. And then it is necessary, young and old, that we may be included in that number where the Lord works by word and by spirit. The Lord has appointed the means to gather His church. And then in the moment of the Lord's good pleasure, then He places the lovely seal of His image upon a sinner. When we think of a seal or a mark that sets apart and that implies ownership. So many times, especially in the olden days, then the shepherd, then he put a special mark on his sheep. Then they have become, whether they were born or whether they were purchased, then they were his property. And blessed that people that may become a sheep, a little lamb of the good shepherd. Then in the second place, then a seal that confirms a document where we read in Esther 3 and 8 that King Ahasuerus, that he has given his ring with a special seal in chapter 3 to Haman and in chapter 8 to Mordecai, that they may put a stamp on their letters, that it may confirm that it was by the authority of the king. And then in the third place, then it confirms that something is genuine. Think of gold, that it is true gold and not fake gold. And now concerning the sheep and concerning gold, then they do not put that stamp on themselves, but that stamp, that seal, is placed by the owner. And now that nevertheless, where we read, and the Lord knoweth them that are His, that is a knowledge which is imparted to the sinner by the work of the Holy Spirit. And then I read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 that they become new creatures in Christ Jesus, and that takes place in the moment of regeneration. Does such a soul then say, and now I have the seal of the Lord? No, but they are given to experience the work of the Lord. Because then they are quickened, then their eyes are opened, they are given to see and experience things which they have never experienced before. It is such an astonishing work. Then that seal is experienced when they come oftentimes, and that is a mark of grace, that they become a seeking and a praying people, that at the throne of grace, that they may receive, as it were, a seal. Do we not read in Psalm 86, verse 17, show me a token for good, that we may, and in Psalm 106, verse 4, with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people young and old. Have there come souls up in this morning hour, also yesterday evening with a prayer and with a desire, ah, Lord, may I receive now a token and a little assurance, because I am so troubled and I have learned that I am not an image bearer. I resemble more an image bearer of the devil with all the evil that I have committed and do commit. But, ah, Lord, I need to become thine. I need to become a little lamb of that good shepherd to be saved by free and sovereign grace. Ah, then the Lord places that seal upon such a subject by the opening of his word, when by the Spirit it may be opened and their life may be declared, their heart declared, what they have experienced, then that seal may be experienced in the way of providence, then it may be especially experienced when it pleases the Spirit to open the gospel as it is in Jesus Christ. Ah, that is a people that have learned that they are unworthy, have sinned everything away 1,000 times, but they need to belong to that people. They need to receive the forgiveness of their sins, because that has become their burden. Ah, that is for souls that have trouble with those two men, that many times they can be discouraged. Oh, discouraged with themselves, and we have not mentioned it in this morning hour, but then for those Timothys that are called to labor in the church, in the first place disappointed and discouraged with themselves, but there is a nevertheless that the Lord uses the foolishness of preaching that sinners shall be saved. Oh, then we read of that seal that refers especially to the assurance that the Lord grants in the heart of the reborn sinner. They receive that assurance by the means of grace, faithfully using those means. But then we read further of the testimony of the Spirit in Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit of God witnessing with our spirit that we are the children of God, young and old. That is that one thing needful. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Do we have a hope that we are included in that number? We have a hope that the Lord knoweth of us. Then we have also received a knowledge of whom the Lord is, and who we are, our sins, our needs, our sorrows, our longings, and our desire. Then we cannot live with emotions, with some convictions. Then we need the Lord as a people who cannot continue to travel with a perhaps or a maybe. They need that assurance that they are one of his, and that faithful shepherd, he shall take care of a sheep. Think of Psalm 23. The wonderful works of the shepherd and special promises concerning those that are his. Never forsake the work of his own hands, but that true people need the seal, the assurance that they are his. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, this morning, that nevertheless may still be proclaimed. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord knoweth those that are his, Then the king is still gathering the church, faithfully use the means, come often on your knees, even with your tongue and mind, and ask, beg the Lord that you may be included in that people, because how terrible it shall be at the end. When the Lord doth not know of us in Christ, at the end of the Sermon of the Mount, Matthew 7, then he has spoken of those that shall say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And then we read, and I shall profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And then it shall be too late. But in this day, the king still proffers peace and pardon. Thus, an accompanying seal, that seal is declared in God's holy word, the work of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let us also mention of that high priestly prayer of Christ in John 17, that all that church shall be gathered. Then the Lord grants that seal of the wonders of free and sovereign grace. Upon his people, he stamps their lovely image upon them. But now in our text, as it were, then our text word speaks of another seal. And that is our forethought, the departing from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There is an end. It's not an end of merit, but it is an end of the wonderful works of the Lord. And when the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration, has written this seal in the way of an exhortation, then it is also implied, because for the church, the Lord knoweth them that are his, they become new creatures. And then as a benefit which Christ has merited in the state of his humiliation, and which he applies in the state of his exaltation, then that exhortation in our text that becomes effectual, that becomes powerful by the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus a seal to depart from iniquity, that is as the fruit, the evidence and the proof that a soul is one that has been born again and that belongs to the Lord. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. Thus, that includes all of us, congregation. It's true, our text, that refers to the Lord knoweth them that are his. But this was read in the church of Ephesus to the whole church, unconverted and converted, and whosoever nameth the name of Christ. Thus that speaks to all people in the church, all with a baptized forehead, that we are called upon to depart from iniquity, to repent, and to flee to the fountain open for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus there is none in this morning that can say that our text, although it is in the context of the living church, but everyone, every boy and girl, man and woman, that nameth the name of Christ, think of our prayers in Jesus' name for Christ's sake, then it is a royal command that we depart from iniquity, that we repent. But now in the context, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, and concerning that naming, Christ has spoken solemn words in Matthew 10, the verses 32 and 33, concerning the confessing of Christ, that Christ would confess and be for his Father, and for a church that denies, that Christ shall deny before his Father. Lord, as a people that can be much troubled with that text, their mouth can be so closed, can be so many questions. Are those souls that often think, if I now had that seal, that assurance, then I would be given to sing and rejoice and speak. But still so many riddles, nevertheless. But let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, when the Lord works, and he stamps his image, that image which we have lost in our deep fallen Adam, when he stamps that image upon a sinner, then that becomes visible. Then they are given to confess with their walk. And then we read, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Some commentators believe that the apostle was thinking about number 16, with the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then in verse 26, then Moses has commanded the children of Israel to depart from those tents of iniquity. Let everyone depart from iniquity. And to that end, speaks of sanctification. Our third thought speaks more of the way for justification. Can never be separated. Must be distinguished. Thus our fourth thought that speaks of sanctification. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stand assured. And now the Lord as a people in the way of sanctification, that Christ is so necessary and so precious in his threefold office. And concerning that departing from iniquity, that must be for God's honor, for the soul's welfare, to experience much of the comfort and the precious things of the Lord, and for the welfare of our neighbor, and for that departing from iniquity, that exhortation is necessary because of that triple-headed enemy, our flesh, the world, and the devil. And therefore Christ has commanded his church in Matthew 26, verse 41, to watch and to pray. And then concerning our last thought, it is written, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. then it is necessary for the church, it's written in the negative, but then there are many exhortations in the positive, and we shall close with the exhortations that Peter has written to the church concerning his church in 2 Peter 1, the verses 4 through 8. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord. Add his blessing. Amen. Our Lord, who was able to declare the depth, the height, the riches of thy nevertheless, concerning thy church, the work of a triune God, and that nevertheless lies the only hope for us and our children. But Lord, it needs to be experienced. To that end, do work mightily, lovingly, by thy Holy Spirit, that many may be given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. Then there shall be a departing from iniquity, and as if we heard out of thy holy word concerning the exhortations concerning thy church, that they shall not be unfruitful, and an increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember us in this day. We commend the branch unto thee. Wilt thou remember and help the readers in this day? Grant Aaron's and hers, and may that nevertheless of free and sovereign grace, may it be richly experienced among young and old. Lord, bless the confession of faith class, grant traveling mercies, return in this evening our pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 35, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Since with my God with perfect heart I walk and make his word my guide, and from iniquity depart, the Lord his blessing will provide. And what follows, Psalter 35, 1, 4, and 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.